Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrologer, Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm currently waiting for my other callers to call in and proceed with the show. I'm going to guess we're having a little void of course action here because the moon is going void at any moment. And we will hopefully hear from Heather and Mark and proceed. And I do see a 646 number, so I'm going to pick it up and say, is this Mark? Mark? Nope. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully they will be joining me soon on the switchboard. And forward we go. So today is February 28th. We are in the middle of a lot of Uranus going on. And we generally call into a communal number, and I had trouble getting in, so I'm going to guess they are too. At any rate, we are going to talk a little bit about the week's access, the week's aspects, and then take some calls. And it actually is a very interesting week. We have two major things happening this week. One, Uranus is the last degree of Pisces, which is kind of a big deal, and it's very active and very intense, and that's why people are kind of feeling a little bit like everything's very wild and out of control. And it also has a very strong energy of wanting to connect to people, people wanting to connect to each other, people wanting to connect with each other. So we have this lovely energy that's kind of saying to each of us, hey, wow, let's connect, let's do stuff, let's connect in a different way. And the Uranus energy is really speaking to the greater vision of where we're going. Uranus acts a little bit like a lightning bolt. And when it comes into our life, it has a big energy around waking us up and helping us see things in a way we never saw before. And it also is very much about illumination, change, chaos, excitement, unusual activity. We really kind of go, wow, I'm really awake, I'm alive, I feel excited, stimulated. Now, on a bad day, it can go a little too far, and we can feel overstimulated. We can feel like we're shaky, that there's just too much electrical energy running through us. We're almost like a little wired, a little hyper, a little that kind of energy. And that all is Uranus. Now, when he's at the last degree of any sign, or when a planet's at the last degree of any sign, what it does is it sums up the previous time before it. So in this case, Uranus went into Pisces in 2003, and we are in the process of summing up the stuff from 2003 to now, giving us a new vision, a new idea, and also we're kind of mentally going back through the last 7-8 years, and reviewing what went on for us, looking at it in a new way, coming up with a new vision, coming up to understand how it shows up, what that purpose of it is. And, you know, when we watch this, we kind of say, wow, this is really exciting. We're having this whole big energy thing that's flying around, and we are also really connecting to each other on a very profound level. The other thing that happens when we have this is that we have this sense of fatedness and destiny where we really culminate the story. So however your Uranus adventure began in 2003, you're now at the part where you're going, wow, I'm really getting the summing, the understanding, the vision of how that's really working for me. And I'm also kind of in a different space. I'm looking at it and saying, how do I work? And how do I connect? How do I recreate this next vision? The other thing that's happening, because it is the end of a cycle, because Uranus is in Pisces, the last sign in the zodiac, it has a very strong energy of saying to us, hey, not only are we going to look at the past 8 years, we're going to go back all the way to the last time we were in Pisces, because we're finishing up an 84-year cycle. At the same time, we're finishing up a little short journey of Uranus through Pisces, which is only 7 or 8 years. We're back to 1927. And if we look at the Middle East, we can totally see that story playing out. The Middle East was divided in the 1920s after World War II and the fall of the Ottoman Empire. and the treaties that were put in place and the countries that were divided. It was mainly tribal lands. But with the destruction of the Ottoman Empire and the end of World War I, we kind of said, okay, everybody, you get your part, you get yours. France got a couple, Britain got a couple, Spain got some. And they were kind of protectorates or helped in the process. So I think I see Mark. Is that Mark?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Good. Okay, hi.
And Heather's
Welcome.
Calling in a second, too.
Heather is, too? Okay. What's her
yeah,
number?
Yeah, we had both of us individually had clock trouble.
Oh, okay. Well, I had caller ID trouble. I had trouble with the thing didn't let me in. Yeah, it was pretty nasty. I got getting a busy signal, so I was like, all right, whatever.
Well,
so Heather will call in, and we'll be all together. So I was just telling everybody that the 1920s was when the Middle East got divided.
Right.
And now we're back at the end of that cycle. We're ending that divide, and when that dividing happened, and now we're at the point where we're saying, okay, where are we? You know, what's going on? How is this gonna? How are we gonna divide? And the Middle East is kind of erupting in this brand new way. Do you know what Heather's number is?
I forgot. It's on my phone, but I can't look it up.
I think she's
612.
Heather, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Ah, okay.
Hello.
I thought you were 612. Okay, good. We got the gang together. It's that kind of day. I had a busy. It kept giving me a busy signal. So.
Yeah, and I couldn't get in until you had already gone online. So here we are all now.
We are all together.
Interesting lineup.
Plus, it's a lovely void, of course, moon. So anyway, So I was kind of like, all right, well, you guys will call in. I'm going to just have to hope I recognize the phone numbers.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was saying how
where
the Uranus is at this culminating moment where it's saying, not only am I ending the last 8 years, because at the last degree it kind of sums up everything that's gone on, but it's looking all the way back to 1920s when it went into Aries and when the world was divided. The Middle East was originally divided into the parts we see now.
Right.
And so that
27, 28.
Yep, that's all being renegotiated. Do we want to stay in the countries that were made out of, when in fact we're really kind of more tribal areas? So at any rate, that plus the nodes of destiny. So when do you guys take the nodes of destiny? Changing signs this week. Because they're going into...
Yes, I do think that is interesting. But the... I think it's interesting that Uranus... the nodes of destiny change. That's the north and south nodes. And Uranus heads into Aries in a few days. Not this week, but the next week. And we said we're seeing this wrap up of what the last 8 years and an echo back to that time before. I'm seeing all the game changing. You think of Uranus, you think of Aries, you think of the starting of a new cycle, Jupiter already in Aries, as a game changer. I thought it was a really interesting article in the New York Times talking about the how the Mideast is so sort of, it's like, you know, a martial arts when someone throws a punch and the person pulls the fist rather than resists it, that Al-Qaeda does not quite know what to do now that their main point of pressure against all of these people who have been taking money from the poor in all these countries are now being resisted, not by violence, not by religion, but by communal action and nonviolent protest, that they don't know where to go with this. And conversely, the American conservative, the American militants are not quite sure what to do if they don't have the same opponents that they've had before. Mm-hmm. And it's a game changer. We just see everybody kind of shifting in their way. And I'm feeling that so much in people's personal lives, too, that the argument or the fight that they were in, the struggle they were in before, has now changed. That doesn't mean it gets any easier, but it changes. That's how I'm seeing it.
And
I feel
changing,
like the notes of Dennis is part of it.
Right, but and in
new,
the changing,
new agenda
we have
coming
to renegotiate.
In.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. Mark, how are you seeing it?
Well, the shift of the nodes first of all, it's moving from cardinal to mutable, and that we feel that in a big way, because we've been working with the cardinal energy so strongly, and in many ways looking to leaders and looking to those who are established. And now, similar to what Heather was saying, we're, as we move to a more mutable energy, we're looking for change and for things that are not putting themselves into the leadership position as authorities, but rather because that's the direction that feels right at the moment. So it's a much more flexible and changeable sense of direction for all of us. So we're not drawn to an authority figure. Rather, there's a feeling that we're steering the boat according to how the direction feels. So we're finding our way. It's more like exploring than being commanded.
And ordered to do something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Heather, you sound like you got a wicked cold.
I do. It was the protests that we did. I was part of the, here in Minnesota, and that's where I am today. We had a very strong protest on Saturday to support the Wisconsin protest, mm-hmm. labor unions. And I stood out at 5 degrees in blinding snow for a couple of hours and caught a chill.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
No matter how much you bundle up, 5 degrees and blowing is still 5 degrees and blowing.
Right.
Yeah.
Just take
you
out.
Catching chills, you know. You always used to hear from Mom, you know, don't catch a chill now, you know.
Yeah.
Going out without, even if you were going out with a coat, it was sometimes, you're going to catch a chill.
You got to carry. You got to carry a couple of baked potatoes in your pocket.
And eat garlic. You know, wards it off. Yeah. No, I can hear your breathing is kind of labored. Yeah, well, congratulations on helping them stand up to them, though.
Yeah.
That union-busting thing, you know, we got a lot of union-busting going on, you know. Yeah, we're going to just get rid of all these people. It's like, no, don't you know your history?
Well, you know, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just part of the necessary re-enlivenment. I mean, I think everything has to be up for question again and recommitted to. You know, it's one of the things in America is people think a fight is over and then they get sleepy, or else they start abusing the privileges.
Right.
But now we have to come back and renegotiate once again, part of the swing and back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The ever-changing, ever-adjusting cycle of life. Yeah. The pendulum
so
one way or the other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This Friday, we have I want to get to the letter that was sent in last week that we said we'd respond to.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
this Friday, we're heading into a new moon in Pisces when Chiron, Mars, the Sun, Mercury, and the Moon will all be in Pisces. So I think one of the things that we can, and then it starts up with the Moon in Aries on Sunday, and we begin the spring fervor after the new moon. But to find creative ways of working with Pisces this week at this last stage of Uranus in Pisces. Uranus also will be there. So we'll have 5 planets and an asteroid in Pisces this week. I'm hearing so many people say, I keep trying to get things done, but I have to stop and process. I have to stop and ask people how they feel about it. We have to talk for hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't get anywhere in the meeting because everybody has to share how they feel about it. So,
feeling deeply about it on top of
everybody's
it.
Everybody's
yeah.
feeling
mm-hmm.
deeply.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is what we do this week. I think this week is a rest, recover, you know,
mm-hmm.
be sick and recover or be well and recover. But rest and come back to yourself before the new cycle begins.
Right. And also, we have at the end of the week, we have Uranus squaring the nodes of destiny on Friday.
Uh-huh,
whenever
uh-huh.
we see one of those big old squares, it's also going to wake up the eclipse from December 21st.
Yep.
And it's going to say to us, time to make a choice. So all of us face a choice somewhere in our life this week. And it's understanding that the choices that we make are really very important. These are major choices. A lot of times we make little choices as we go along. This week, with Uranus squaring the nodes, it's a big one, and we're either going to go to the North Node, you know, and kind of work in the higher vision of where we can go and what we're doing, or we're going to go to the Node, the South Node in Gemini, which is a little more gossipy, complainy. I'm not in the mood. I don't really want to do it. So kind of watch that energy, you know, and watch, you know, because you're going to feel it as it approaches. And it also is about giving yourself permission to make a choice, you know, where perhaps you've been feeling a little stuck and unable to move. This is when the universe is going to say, so what do you want to do? And, you know, have your answer ready or have an idea of what you want to do ready, because that's a powerful energy flowing through that node. And very often it shifts and adjusts and changes things, because that's Uranus's job, is to wake us all up and have us go, wow, I'm awake now. I thought I was sleeping, but I'm awake. So I think that's good. And we also have a little quickie. We have Venus going into Aquarius, so she's not so serious anymore.
That will
she's
help.
A little less serious because of the her out of Capricorn into more communicative, flirty, connected, related. Uh-huh. Yeah, here. So that is good. It's all good.
She gets there. Yeah. I'm hearing that people really need to pay close attention to how they comport themselves in their relationships this week. Mm-hmm. Very subtly, but pay very close attention. And to be gently and firmly honest as Venus conjuncts Pallas Athena, the asteroid of honesty, of intellectual honesty in Capricorn, that it feels like there's a way of diplomatic honesty that will keep a relationship relevant for the next cycle. Or if we're not honest and we're just trying to make everybody happy, the relationship probably won't make it into the next cycle. So it's a way of gentle, firm honesty seems to be very important.
Yeah. It really
so what would you say is the best thing they can do with Pisces energy?
I've been sleeping a lot. That's my favorite thing. Sleeping and dancing. I put on my music.
Dreaming.
It makes me want to dance, and I dance. And I've been singing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I've been, you know, I have drums I play when I really need to pound things. So I've been drumming, too. Only before 10 o'clock at night, because then I don't want to bother anyone.
Yeah.
And lots of showers. I've been two showering a day. Yeah, because, you know, the Pisces just loves to get in the water. So I'm like, into the water with me.
Good.
Yeah, what have you been doing?
I think dreaming is one of the most important things, and that's giving ourselves time to imagine how it could be different. And that daydreaming and knowing, taking notes of what would actually make it feel better. So, how can I, let me read the letter, if you get a chance, from one of our listeners that we got. It said, Dear Heather, Ann, and Mark, hello. Thanks so much for your great show. I listen most weeks, and this is from Spain, and appreciate your great insight. I moved to Spain about a year and 3 months ago. Her birth information is March 23rd, 1960, 1 p.m. in Mount Kisco, New York. Her name is Sue. And she moved to Spain about a year ago, and because of her husband's job, and they moved with their 10-year-old daughter, and this has been the most difficult time in her life to date. She said, I feel at times like I've lost myself and feel overwhelmed. And with Uranus moving into Aries and my son at 3 degrees of Aries, I'd love to see how you two see this shift affecting me personally. I'd appreciate any insight into career. I'm a yoga teacher, have done cooking things, a book, woman's yoga retreat, teacher training, but we are struggling financially and this is getting old. I'm tired of feeling behind and never having enough money. And they're thinking of moving to a less expensive house in town. She has other questions, but that's the main ones.
Okay.
So what can we help her with here?
All right. Mark, you want to go or you want me to go?
You can go ahead. I'm still trying to find the chart here.
Okay. All All right. Well, I think the move, you know, she's got the sun in the ninth house, which is foreign moves, and Pluto's been squaring that. And, you know, wherever Pluto is, we do have major changes. And he's natally in her sixth house of daily routines. He's sitting on her Vesta, which is really changing her vision of her roots and her work and what she can do. And that square to the sun is very challenging because the sun rules her chart and it rules her money. So the good news is she's almost done with her Pluto transit. The bad news is she's not done with it yet. And Pluto also is trining her Pluto in the second. So I think the financial stuff will ease up by the time we get to August, when Pluto gets back to four and finishes with that number for the last time. And I think that will help an enormous amount. She's also having Chiron, you know, she's got Chiron at 29 Pisces, and Neptune is sitting on it. And she's, you know, got a Mercury and Venus in Pisces, and her Mercury is stopped, meaning, Sue, you're one of the people that has a Mercury that stops. So Mercury stopped in the sky, it does it like four or five, six times a year, just one day, you know, so you're, you know, six out of every 360 people, you're kind of a rare bird. So Mercury in Pisces is kind of your hopes and dreams. And he's been getting a little hammered, too. And so I think the combination of, because he's been getting, you know, the inconjunct from Saturn to him, kind of questioning what you believe. And, you know, you got Virgo rule on the third, so you tend to follow the rules and kind of say, well, if I do a good job and show up, it should be okay. And most times it is, except right now it's crabby and cranky and irritable. Plus you're having Saturn square your Saturn. You know, these are really hard transits, which are a lot of self-doubt and a lot of feeling like I can't be seen and I'm kind of struggling up a cliff. The good news is it's almost over.
Yeah.
And what you've really learned is what? That's the question, because Saturn and Pluto always give us lessons. So what have you learned about yourself, about your purpose, about your reason for existence? You know, you have what I would call a locomotive chart with Uranus as the engine, and Uranus rules the seventh house. So there's been a lot of information that's come to you from the outside world this year that's been really, maybe not to your liking, but you've been really processing. And I think that's, you know, you would have had these hard transits anyway, but dumping you in a foreign country where everything changes and none of your routines work really just kind of amped it up. So, one, it's almost over, but two, the question is, what have you learned? Because the Mercury in Pisces has trouble sometimes verbalizing, and it can feel a little swamped with the energy. And with Saturn arguing with it, makes it feel bad. So it's been a hard year, but it is almost over, and I think you'll feel much better by the time July, August comes, and you'll actually probably feel better even once Uranus changes signs and gets a little juice on your Aries planets. So that's my personal first hit.
Yeah.
I also like the Uranus is going to trine your ascendant and your sun. So you are going to get some kind of breakthrough relief because he for you is a personal planet because he's in your first house. So, and he's a leader of your locomotive, a leader of your engine. So.
And her progressed moon at 27 Sagittarius is coming to conjunct her Jupiter. And to me, moving into that, I do see feeling freer at home. And if that means relocating in the town and lowering her overhead, fine, do that. To feel what can make her feel freer, not she shouldn't feel cramped in her home situation, but she needs to feel like her home is not taking more out of her than it's giving. I think that as Pluto gets off its square to her sun and Uranus comes to conjunct her sun, that there's as much coming alive next year as there was depression and feeling buried alive last year. What do you see, Mark?
Well, the Uranus coming to the sun, I think, is going to bring a lot of brightness and definitely some changes. And anything that involves Uranus, you never really know how it's going to show up, but just be ready to improvise. That's my feeling what's coming in for you. So you feel like things have kind of settled down in a way that is not not productive and not expanding. But when Uranus gets to the sun, then you'll definitely feel opportunities coming in. So look for opportunities then and use them, and use them in an improvised way. In other words, don't say, oh, here's the definitive change. I'll sign the documents. You know, there won't be documents to sign. It's really about going from, you know, one thing to the next. And that'll work. You have a lot of Pisces energy, the Mercury and Venus, and you're meant to work with that. It's kind of hard to arrange that, you know, because it's so mutable and so accepting of things. And it feels a lot of times like it's hard to make decisions. But it, at the same time, gives you the advantage of being flexible and adaptable, and that's going to help you a lot when the Uranus comes to the sun. So be ready for that, and just use that ability to not have to worry and to trust. So develop a lot of the trust. And you have that natal trine from Neptune to the Mercury and Venus, which is really going to be helpful also. So look into your spiritual practice and realize, you know, what it is that you're really here for and what really works
yeah.
for you.
Yeah. And what that what North Dakota taught me, that you're mm-hmm. never really alone but sometimes great solitude can force you to into that interconnection where spirit is allowed to sing there, and you never feel isolated from that.
Yes.
But she, just looking at her solar maps, she has Jupiter on the IC and the Sun on the descendant through eastern Spain, and her nodes through Portugal. So she moved right to the heart of, because it's her Jupiter and her Sun that are being hit by Uranus and Pluto, by Pluto last year and Uranus this year. So she moved right into the heart of those aspects.
Right.
But that should mean that next year it's full of life and change and transformation for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of change again, as there was depression this year.
Yeah,
you can call the whole year spring.
Yeah, yeah.
Springtime in Spain. I think also when you're having, you know, one of the things, and not to be emphasized, but you have Saturn in the sixth. There's an enormous comfort from your daily routines. And I had a friend who, she moved to the South. You know, she's a toughie. She's a little tough New Yorker. And she moved down to North Carolina. And as her brother put it, you know, she transplanted, but she's not thriving. Your
yeah.
chart likes its routines. It really does. And when it gets disrupted, because you have Capricorn on the sixth house, it takes a little while for your routines to feel like your routines again. It feels like they got, you know, you got transplanted, but you're not necessarily thriving because your, you know, your dirt hasn't settled into place yet. But I think you're going to find this year that it really feels much more grounded, because your Sun in the ninth house is up for a marvelous adventure and transformative by living
yeah.
far, far from home. And yeah. part of what your soul's doing is saying, hey, we're transforming. We just took you to a place where you wouldn't feel at home, so you could really transform even faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the British lady is speaking.
Oh,
okay.
You guys can't hear her. It's 60 seconds. So we're running out of time. The show goes really fast when it's only a half an hour. So this is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York at my bright red desk, and I'm joined by my compadres.
Heather Rowan Robbins from St. Paul, Minnesota.
With a cold.
With a cold.
We hear it.
But here.
Mark Waltz.
But here.
Mark Waltz in Manhattan, and no cold.
And yay. Heather, congratulations, and thank you for protesting for us. We were there in spirit, but we're glad we don't
yes,
have your cold.
Yes, you were. I was pulling, yes.
Yep.
But we're cheering you on. Go.
And think of all those people in Wisconsin out there every day in the cold.
Really.
Yes.
You know, and this kind of stuff really, you know, back in the old rights movement, stomping, yelling, you really sometimes have to, you know, say, wow, life is uh-huh. short. We got to fight for what we believe in. So this is Access Astrology, folks. Join us next week. Feel free, you know, we're working on getting our timing down, so hopefully we got a call in this week or right in this week. We did see some callers on the line. We didn't get to you, but we will try next week. Remember to breathe. Lots of really wild energy this week.
Yes.
Any last words of wisdom, Heather or Mark?
Don't take breathing lightly.
One thing.
Yes, dreams.
Sweet dreams, yeah. Mark, anything for you?
Breathe and work with water.
Work with water. Okay, that's good. Cool. All right, okay. That's our advice.
Okay.
Have a great week, guys. Bye.
Talk to you next week. Bye.
Okay, bye now.